It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you today.
Yes, sir. I understand you have somebody from my old home stomping ground from suburban Detroit.
Hey, isn't that a rare situation?
Yeah, that's right. I went to high school in suburban Detroit there.
Well, we'll let that go by.
I went to the University of Michigan. I went there. I'm curious to find out what's happening in Detroit there. You know,
well, we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Good. All right.
Well, look, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. And our topic for today is building an online audience. And we have with us author and Master Certified Coach Barry Dempt. Barry has coached more than 1,000 individuals, worked with hundreds of companies, and trained 60 coaches. Probably more than that by now. In 1999, he became the first International Coach Federation Master Certified Coach in Michigan. And Barry fosters focused, learning-rich engagements by primarily working with his clients in person in his office in Troy, Michigan, or by phone. He says, coaching is who I am. It's not just what I do for a living. Grew up in Philadelphia, lives in Troy, Michigan with his wife, Wendy. Became a good friend of mine a few years ago when we met at a CAM, Conversation Among Masters conference, in Texas. And his new book, The Quotable Coach, Daily Nuggets of Practical Wisdom, just came out, and we're going to hear more about that today. So welcome, Barry.
Hey, Doug. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, it's good to talk to you. I've missed our conversations.
Well, I enjoy speaking with you as well.
Yeah, and I'm excited for today's conversation, the chance to share more about what you do and about your new book with our audience, and it should be a lot of fun here. So thanks for making the time. I know with the time change, you've had to kind of give up a good portion of your evening, so I truly appreciate that.
It's my pleasure.
A couple of sort of standard questions. Tell our audience a little bit about your background. What did you do before you got into the coaching business?
My first profession was as an educator. So I, as you mentioned, I was born and raised in the Philadelphia area. And I come from a family of educators. So my dad was in the educational profession. He was a physical education and health teacher. We used to call that a gym teacher. My sister was in education. My wife was a teacher, and my wife's father, my wife's mother, everybody in our family seemed to be in education. My interest happened to be science, so therefore I became a science teacher. And I was very intrigued with this idea of Mr. Wizard and why things worked the way they did. So actually, my first career was as a public school teacher teaching science to sixth grade middle school kids.
You know, I had forgotten all about that. You told me that when we met the first time, and you just don't strike me as the Mr. Wizard, you know, kind of guy.
I have this voracious appetite to learn, and at least with science, it was a little bit more magical. So I thought that was an interesting way to pursue the teaching profession. You know, other forms of teaching didn't have the same appeal. Unfortunately, I remember exactly how much money I earned back then, and it was $154 a week. And the reason I remember that is because I made $156 a week when they laid me off because of declining enrollments. So that happened actually twice, and then the second time it happened, I realized that there was not a lot of security in teaching because it was last one in, first one out. So from there, I went into the public sector, or the private sector, rather, and I secured a job with the Upjohn Company in pharmaceutical sales. So I was one of those legal drug salespeople, and I was fortunate to work with Upjohn for about 12 and a half years.
Well, now that's quite a switch going from teaching to sales. How did that feel for you?
Well, for me, it actually was a little bit logical because my background in science allowed me to understand the anatomy and physiology of the human body. And the communications and the teaching aspect was I was going to be speaking with physicians and nurses and people in the medical profession about our medications. So the educational component actually was pretty natural.
Okay, that makes sense. So, let's move forward. 12 years with Upjohn, then what happened?
Well, I moved through a variety of different positions with Upjohn. I went from sales to marketing to advertising to product management, and I had a lot of really wonderful experiences, both in Pennsylvania and eventually in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which, yes, is where Upjohn used to be. And that's what brought me to Michigan in the first place. Toward the end of my career with Upjohn, we went through a change management initiative. It used to be called TQM, Total Quality Management. Today it might be called Lean or Six Sigma. And unfortunately, that did not stick very well. And the year happened to be 1992, which happened to be the year of the Barcelona Olympic Games. And I have a passion for the Olympics and this idea of gold medal performance. And I realized that this relationship between a coach and an athlete produced gold medal performance in sports. And it struck me that perhaps coaches could work with professionals and help them achieve gold medal performance. So for me, it was that epiphany that said, you know, what about bringing coaching to the business world? And that's what we did.
Wow. You know, I hadn't realized you and I made that transition just about the same time. So that's kind of interesting. Opposite ends of the country, slightly different reasons.
We're pointing to our ages.
Hey, I can't hide it anymore. So look, tell me a little bit about your business now. What do you do? What's unique? Who are your typical clients? How do you find clients? You know, all those sort of standard things.
Well, in the early years of coaching when I started, it was about 21 years ago, the primary way of generating clients was to go out and kind of find them. Through networking, through direct outreach, through joining various community organizations such as chambers of commerce and things of that sort. It comes down to shaking hands and meeting people and getting to know them. And then be able to kind of brand yourself and position yourself in terms of who you work with and who is a good candidate for the type of work you do. So those were the early years, and that's how we built our networks, and that's how we started building our social capital, as sometimes people call it.
Okay.
As far as my focus, I'm primarily a business and executive coach that has a focus on helping people achieve quantifiable results in their organizations and in their companies. There is always a component of personal coaching, however, that helps people apply the skills and tools and concepts that they're applying in the workplace to their personal lives. So things like managing their time and balancing their life and working on their personal relationships also comes to mind as well. I think what makes some of the work that I do kind of unique is that I do a reasonably high majority of my work in person in my office. So clients are very willing to come to me because most of them are locally based for the most part, and they're able to leave their environments and have a safe, confidential space to have a face-to-face collaborative conversation.
Now, that is totally unique. Do you know of, I don't know of anyone else that coaches with that kind of a model. How about you?
I don't know of very many. In fact, the majority of coaches that I am aware of do a large variety of their coaching on-site, or perhaps even a larger majority actually do it simply by phone or through technology such as Skype.
Yeah, I know my practice is split. I meet at least monthly with all of my clients physically at their site, and I coach them typically over the phone weekly. But the idea of them coming to me, frankly, never would have even entered my mind. It's just so unusual here on the West Coast.
Well, I live or actually work in Troy, which is a very concentrated suburb of Detroit, and a high majority of my clients probably can get to my office in somewhere around 10, 15 minutes, or they simply schedule their work that they're out and about, and they pop by my office before or after appointments they may have.
Okay, so describe to me, what's your typical client, or what's the ideal client that you like to work with?
Well, I would say about 50% of the people I work with are director, executive director, and vice presidential level people in privately held companies, probably ranging from a few million dollars of revenue to perhaps maybe $300-400 million or so. So a good majority are privately held companies that can mobilize and make decisions relatively quickly and don't have too much bureaucracy. I'd say about 10-15% are executives in larger companies that very often hire me themselves to look at their own career management or their own career transition. I do a fair amount of work with professional service firms such as accountants, attorneys, bankers, and some financial advisory people. And about 10% of my work is focused on other coaches and other consultants in helping them kind of blend the two together to make their ability to impact their organizations even more so.
And what would you say is sort of the typical length of engagement that you have with a client, sort of excluding coaching clients, but your business clients?
Well, I would say the minimum relationship usually averages around a six-month time frame. Depending upon where we are at the end of the 6 months, if they've been able to achieve and maintain some self-sustainability, that might be the completion point. Many clients would continue to work with me beyond the 6 months and kind of have a tapering effect where they would be bringing some of the tools and concepts within their organization so that they can self-sustain it. But usually you're pointing to about a year to 18 months. I had lunch the other week with a client that I've been working with since 1998, and we simply have lunch once a month, and we've been doing so for quite a number of years.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Barry, let me, if I talk to your clients, or maybe they wouldn't be able to do this, but how is your coaching unique or different from other coaches? What sort of makes you stand out?
Well, that's a good question, because I haven't observed and watched every other coach out there and how they do it. I would say there's a high degree of collaboration and creativity and rigor, as well as fun and creativity in our interactions. We're very, very focused on the soft side of things in order to produce the hard side. A majority of the work I do is in creating what I would call leveraged coaching relationships. So they see that their job is to produce results with and through others. And perhaps the overriding intention is to help these individuals generate and create coaching cultures within their organizations to support, sustain, and carry on beyond their interactions with myself.
And when you think back to the clients you've worked with over the years, what is sort of the typical nice things they say about the coaching that you've done with them? What do they point out as sort of the strengths that they've really appreciated?
Well, I sure wish you would ask that of other people, because you know, there's a quote that says, if you say something nice about yourself, it's called bragging, but if other people say it about you, it's called the truth. What I would like them to say is that I am highly intentional and highly focused and extremely centered on their agenda, that I'm very engaging and curious, and I make them do the work of discovery and exploration and dramatically enhance their self-awareness and help them discover the answers that lie within themselves. But I also bring a high level of skills and expertise and experience so that when they reach into their pocket, find all the puzzle pieces that they can possibly find, I have a few puzzle pieces of my own that I can share and put into place to complete their picture.
Well put. I like it. And that was a tough question for you to answer yourself, so I apologize for that. Well, look, we have a question that I have asked every guest over the last 5 or 6 years that I've been doing the radio show, and I have really never gotten a duplicate answer yet, and that is to what is sort of your guiding light, guiding principle, or some experience that has sort of formed your basis for the way in which you deal with people?
You know, I think the premise about the whole coaching profession and what drives me in particular is simply being generous and this idea of giver's gain. So when I hold my client's agenda and support them in all forms and fashions of achieving what they want, it's very much like Zig Ziglar. If you help enough people in the world get what they want to get, then you indeed will get what you want to get. So it's very, very easy for me to be very centered and very focused on their agenda and do whatever I can do, whether helping them discover the answers within themselves or bring to them a resource or a tool or something that will contribute to them in some unique and efficient fashion. So I would say that idea of giver's gain and helping others and making a difference, it sounds a little corny, but that very much drives me. So when I wake up in the morning, I have purpose in my life.
I love it. Thank you. And you've retained the integrity that it wasn't a duplicate answer I've ever heard before. So thank you very much. I lost the bet I had with myself before the start of the show. We were 14 minutes into the show before you mentioned a quote. Given your attachment to quotes, I kind of thought you'd hit one earlier than that. But, you know, I have to say that when you and I met 2 or 3 years ago, I enjoyed the time we got to talk at a conference. And then, of course, that weekend or days were over and we went back to our respective practices. But I have really felt sort of connected to you because of your weekly quotes that you put out. And I love them, and I have referred and forwarded your email quotes to I can't even begin to say how many people. So who knows how many more are listening that are a result of that one acquaintance we made. So let's talk a little bit about quotes and what got you intrigued with quotes.
Well, if you look at the title of my book, you know, The Quotable Coach, Daily Nuggets of Practical Wisdom. So that's what I like about it. I mean, they're daily nuggets of practical wisdom. So I do not create the vast majority of these quotes. However, I have collected quotes my entire professional life, and I found that I was using them literally on a daily basis over and over and over again with my clients so that they could retain a message or a thought that was useful. So quotes have kind of a stickiness power to them. So when I saw that I was doing that and I was able to kind of, you know, editorialize a little bit about the use and the application and what those quotes meant to me, people would say, can you say that again, or let me write that down, and so on. So it hit me that, you know, just simply using the wisdom of the ages and using those nuggets and applying them to a real-life situation was a relevant way of coaching in a very impactful and efficient manner.
And you know, I have to say that the way in which you use your quotes, in my experience, is very unique. I have books of quotes that I've always kept because it's been my habit that when I prepare a meeting agenda for anything I might lead or a seminar or a training, I would typically pick a quote that I thought was appropriate, and I would put it at the top of the agenda page. But your quotes go way beyond that. I want you to share that with our audience in that you then add these exercises to them.
The blog that I write called The Quotable Coach is actually a Monday through Friday blog. So I was always told that you need to be consistent when you write. And in my previous efforts at blogging, which quite honestly were somewhat of a failure, I was not able to generate any form of consistency. It would be once a week, once every 2 weeks, really didn't generate some readership and didn't generate momentum. And what I also found out was the length of that blog that I used to write was maybe 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and people just didn't give me that amount of time. So I literally asked myself, what do I read? And I tend to read those things that get to the point very, very quickly. So the idea of taking a quote, interpreting it, and give a coaching commentary, and then apply an exercise so that an individual can use it and apply it to their professional and personal life, all in about 30, 40 seconds, seemed to be a reasonably good idea. And it actually caught on. And today we have actually over 1,200 people that receive that on a daily basis.
I'm glad to count myself among them. So the So the blog started out first. Did you have any intention of writing a book when you started the blogging?
Absolutely not. I was simply using it as one of those strategies to what they call book yourself solid. Quite a number of years ago, a gentleman named Michael Port wrote a book called Book Yourself Solid. And one of the strategies that he included in that, beyond networking and maybe speaking, was a writing strategy. And I was always what I would consider a reluctant writer. And I thought, well, just writing these 2 or 3 minute blogs is very torturous for me. But I thought it would be relatively easier to write something that was only 150 to maybe 200 words. And eventually it became easier and easier, and I became more proficient at doing so.
Some of the material that we talked about before the show and getting ready for the show, you had used the, quote, reluctant writer. And frankly, I couldn't use that because you are so good at it, I just couldn't see you as a reluctant writer.
If you're interested, here's my little story. When I was a kid, I remember having to take my homework and show it to my dad. So when I was writing an essay, out the red pen would come, and I would always feel pretty much like a failure. And even later in life, even in my professional life, I would sometimes write something, and I would notice that people would correct me, and I felt literally embarrassed. So that although I'm a very competent coach, my writing didn't always reflect that competency or even a level of mastery. So I always felt reluctant to put it out there for fear that I might be judged. And there were numerous instances where I had examples where that felt like that was still continuing to occur. It turns out that only by getting my own coach and working with people in that regard that I was able to use my voice, my coaching voice, as my writing voice. And therefore, when I simply said, well, what do you think of this quote or how does it apply, I just simply spoke and that became my written language. I would capture that and then we would edit it and I'd have my coach also take one more crack at it to give it the professional appeal that I was hoping for. And that's really that magic kind of partnership that's helped me get the Quotable Coach out to a point that the book is now over 50,000 words.
Believe me, I have gone through it and picked out many of my favorites, and I've got some of them marked to reuse. I appreciate you sending it to me ahead of time, and I think it's a great book. I would really encourage our audience to get a hold of it. So I don't want to. I would normally ask this at the end of the show, but in case somebody gets interrupted, how do they get your book?
The easiest way to get it is to simply go on Amazon and just look up The Quotable Coach, Daily Nuggets of Practical Wisdom, and they're able to purchase an e-book for actually $4.99. So the little bio on my website says, get a year of coaching for $4.99. And then for us... So for us people who prefer to put our hands around something, I call the paperback version of my book more like a coffee table book or even a dinner table book, where you can simply open it up and take 30 seconds to a minute, read something, and you know, ponder it or even discuss it with your family over a meal.
Well, look, now people know where to get it. So let me ask you this. Do you see yourself now as a writer or as a coach? How do you describe yourself? What comes first?
I would say I'm a coach who happens to write. I think I've been doing this for about 2.5 years, and we've actually written over 550 individual posts. So to say that I wasn't a writer would be kind of incorrect. There's still a little twinge of reluctancy every time I sit down, but you know, I work and my way through that simply because I have a lot of stimulus with the quotes that come my way. So the confidence that I have is that I realize that I'm a pretty decent coach, and I use that coaching voice first and foremost to explore and engage and inquire about the quotes. And then as I capture them, you know, they simply add up to the book that just went out last week.
And thank you for giving us the privilege of maybe being one of the first to talk to you about your book, at least on the air. So I appreciate that.
No, I appreciate it very much as well.
You know, we started the title of the topic today was building an online audience. You've got a blog. You've got a book. Talk to me a little bit about the strategy of, was your goal to build an online audience? What's the value of having an online audience? I mean, is this an ego thing? Is this a money-making thing? I mean, you know, I've heard lots of different answers from people on social media.
Well, that's a good question. For me, it's an impact thing. So in a typical week, I work about a 5-day work week. I work about a 9-hour work day. And I usually have between 6 and 7 coaching sessions per day, which allows me to, if they're all about an hour long, you know, I basically have maybe 2 or 3 hours of extra time to do business development and do some other things, including writing. So in a typical week, if I'm interacting with people in this way, it allows me to impact perhaps 35 or so people in a given week or so. Mm-hmm. So the thought would be, well, you know, if I'm interested in having a little bit of impact, and in my model, which is a very highly focused, engaged activity, not everybody can engage a coach in that particular way, or even for that matter, afford it. And at the same time, I do believe that people deserve to be supported and coached in improving their professional personal life. So I thought that one way to increase that impact of my coaching voice would be through writing and through a blog and eventually a book. So I was actually found out that that was true, that people can take little bite-sized chunks of this. And just the other week, I had somebody from Vietnam, you know, sign up for the Quotable Coach, which could have never happened given that my footprint is still pretty much southeastern Michigan. So for me, it's about impact. As far as money-making, most people who have actually written a book don't make a great deal of money. You could call a book somewhat of an expensive business card, but it does, without question, help build credibility. And I think in the last 10 years, with social media such as LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, which are amplifiers of networking and amplifiers of sharing value, the combination of the writing and social media increases that awareness. And search engines like Google are kind of all over that. So fortunately, if you did a search for business coach and you put a comma and write the word Michigan in there, right after the paid ads, you would see me pretty much on the first page. And that is very helpful using what we call the pull strategy of marketing, where people want kind of what they want when they want it. So if they're looking for a business coach in Troy or southeastern Michigan or Michigan in general, if they look and put those key words in there, you know, for the last 8 or 9 years through my website and writings and other things, I tend to pop up, you know, reasonably high on the list.
Well, you know, we're going to go to a commercial in a minute, but I want to add one thing to that. I like the explanation. I like the word impact. I mean, that is so much better than ego. I apologize for even using that word. But I want to say that my impression of you is that this is also a pay-forward tool for you, that you're a person who likes to give back to the community. And I see your blog and your book in a lot of ways doing that, too.
I appreciate that, and you would be correct.
Okay. Barry, don't go away. Producer's going to take us to a commercial, and then we'll be right back.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com.
S&H Rubber is a manufacturing company in Fullerton, California. We specialize in custom molded, extruded, and stamped rubber parts. If your next job requires a rubber part, we would appreciate the opportunity to quote on it. We serve aerospace, automotive, and many other industries. We work with many types of rubber, including silicone, EPDM, neoprene, buna-nitrile, and Viton. Our quality system is ISO and AS9100 approved. Over our 47 years in business, the S&H brand has become known for superior quality, quick turnaround, and competitive pricing. Please check out our website at www.shrubber.com or call 714-525-0277. Let S&H be your sealing solution.
Okay, and we're back, and we're talking to Barry Demp, the Quotable Quotes. Barry, thank you again for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
Barry, talk a little bit. You mentioned that part of your practice is working with other coaches, not your own coach, but I mean, are you training? Are you mentoring? What is your involvement with other coaches?
You know, one of the things that I find pretty intriguing is when I coach a business leader or business executive, one of the most enjoyable things for them is when they become a coach within their institution. It's probably the most satisfying thing that they can do in the course of their day. And all the other stuff that seems to be bureaucratic or a little bit more linear is a little bit less desirable. And at some point during some of these people's journeys, they begin to see that that's really where the fun is and the rest of the job isn't so enjoyable. And maybe that career path has run its course for these people. So they begin to look at, well, what do I want to do next? And that often would include something that looks pretty similar to what they've done before. And they might be 45, 50 or older and say, well, I don't want to do that. And now that I have a choice, now that I've worked with a coach, I can choose and manifest my own destiny. And in some cases, they actually say, I'd like to do what you're doing. So I've coached many leaders and executives to leave corporate America to actually start their own consultative or coaching practice. And that's one source of the types of people that I actually coach to generate their own coaching businesses.
Like you, I have my own coach. I couldn't imagine getting by without a coach. And you mentioned that you have a coach that helps you. You know, are we in the minority there, coaches who believe so much in coaching that they have their own coaches?
I actually don't think so. I think fundamental to coaching is the belief in coaching is that it works, and it worked for me, and to kind of pay that forward. So If we don't walk the talk, so to speak, and exemplify the value and the impact of coaching, we're a little bit out of integrity. You know, I do it, but I don't use one. So over the years, I've had a whole variety of different ones, and at this point in time, I actually work with three different people for different reasons related to my developmental journey. The other side thing that happens with me is many of my clients are highly skilled and talented, and they become pretty good coaches too, and they tend to take a little bit of an interest in what I'm working on. So very often they can be a sounding board, or we have such a trusting relationship that they can offer a perspective that I might not see myself. So I think the key is being coachable and being open and receptive to those individuals around you. My dad, who's 87, lives with me. He's a coach for me. My wife, Wendy, who's been married to me for 35 years, she's one of the best coaches in the world, and she's always there to keep me on the straight and narrow, too. And even to my two adult kids, my son Daniel, who is 28, and my daughter Rachel, who's 26, they've grown up in a coaching culture within our family. And we kind of help one another throughout the life journeys that we're all on.
I have to ask, is this interest in education passed on to your children, or are they breaking the mold here?
Well, no, they've broken the mold. I think my son is a software developer, and my daughter is actually in healthcare-related insurance sales, and they're both very special people to me.
So what advice would you give to someone that's moving into the coaching world today, that's either thinking of becoming a coach or has recently started coaching? What advice would you give them?
Well, I think you pointed to it a few minutes ago, and that is have your own coach and work on your own life. Because if you represent a work in progress and you can demonstrate and actually experience the value of moving parts of your professional and personal life forward, you can't help but be excited and engaged and enthusiastic about the power of coaching for yourself. And as you go through that process, you simply want to just pay it forward and see that that is a very rewarding skill set. I mentioned my children, but you know, coaching my kids and seeing my kids thrive and do well is probably one of the most satisfying things a person can experience. So having parents have coaching skills, having our teachers have coaching skills to support students being the best that they could be, and helping people kind of navigate their lives far more authentically than the old parental model of, I'm in charge, you're going to do your life the way I want you to do it. So I think just simply coaching in general, the time has come, and I wouldn't expect a new millennium individual to not go to an organization that didn't have something like that to support their rapid growth and development.
Are you seeing more of a movement of companies with their own internal coaches? I mean, you're working with some pretty good-sized companies. They could have their own staff of coaches.
The best way I could put it is I would say that the management within organizations are incorporating and developing coaching skills in their performance management process. They're not just managers. They're just not holding people accountable. They actually see it's their job to support others in being the best that they can be individually and contributing to the best that the organization can be. So I'm not seeing that many internal coaches except in the much larger organizations, but I do see manager as coach as a major, major trend.
I agree. I wish there was more. I wish coaching was a required course in all of our business schools, because I think it is the management model of the future. Is all managers will be coaching managers. Let me just touch on social media here for a minute. We touched a little bit. You use a number. I mean, you're on Facebook. You're on LinkedIn. You've got your email, daily email blast that goes out. You've got a book. What would you say about using social media to build a person's online presence? What advice here?
Well, I think absolutely you need to get into the game. And, you know, I'm 57 years old, and about, I don't know, 10 years ago, I joined a special networking group, and the group was called the GIG Group, G-I-G, and it stood for Great Idea Group. I happened to be the oldest person in that group, and the average age of people in that group was somewhere around 30. So these people were about 20 years younger than me. The reason I joined that group is I saw it as a form of diversification to my networking, and I realized that they were far more open, far more receptive, and far more comfortable with technology, in particular social media. And I said, well, I surrender. Teach me what I need to know. Here's how I conduct my business. What would you do if you were me? And they were more than happy to help me. So I was one of the first 300,000 people to be on LinkedIn back in 2003. And currently I have over 2,800 connections on LinkedIn. And it's not about numbers, but you do anything for 10 years and you're going to build something if you're consistent at it. So for people who are in the field of business coaching or executive coaching, LinkedIn is the platform that I feel strongest about. Its capabilities with search, its capabilities in the ability to recommend and to provide the necessary information and background is very, very robust. And I happen to like the premium edition that allows the in-mail option as well as to find out who is actually evaluating your profile. So if we use analytics through Google, we can find out who goes to our website, how long they're at their website, how many pages. And with social media, at least with LinkedIn, you can find out who's kicking your tires, and therefore you can then be much more efficient in your outreach efforts.
There's a lot of people have a misconception about how to use LinkedIn. I mean, it isn't just a matter of creating your LinkedIn pages. What do you have to do then? Once I've established my bio, I'm on there. What makes it work? Because, you know, as you know, you hear people that say, well, I've been on LinkedIn for years and it's never done anything for me.
Well, LinkedIn does not replace traditional forms of networking. So I think they're very complementary, and I would say that they're enhancers. My real-world network, my real-world CRM system that I use a system called ACT. Over the last 21 years, I now have over 6,000 real-world connections. And my connections on LinkedIn is a little less than half that. But they kind of work together. So when I use my CRM system, one of the actual areas on the profile is the LinkedIn link. And I can literally, when I'm going to call somebody up, I can click on that. And it's like doing the necessary research and respecting that person enough to know, am I sharing something with that person that's actually relevant? So when you really do your homework through Google and through other social media sites, you can find out what they're putting out to the world, and then you can see if you would have an affinity and that there's some kind of complementary partnership that you can meet them halfway and provide some value. So I think the key, though, is using networking or social media to actually contribute. So when I write a blog, for the most part, it's always giving something. It's always sharing something. It's always saying, I found this valuable here. And if you give and give and give and people associate you with value, then they're going to come back. And when they come back, sometimes they come back and they want more. Like, what would it be to work with you? So actually, last year, I actually got 12 clients through my web presence and social media. And that's because they literally came and were attracted to the things that I had put out there.
Well, 12 clients is a great number. There's some hard statistics for those of you that question whether it works. Listen to Barry. It works. Barry, as we get ready to wrap up here, two things. One, I just want to mention I had two of my personal favorite quotes out of your new book. If you chase two rabbits, both will escape, by Anonymous. I love that, and I love the exercise that you had. And the other one was a Mark Twain quote that you had that says, I've lived a long life and had many troubles, most of which never happened. Great quotes, great exercises. Thank you for keeping me on the ball with those exercises on a daily basis. You are one of the few emails I look forward to getting every day.
Thank you.
Look, anything else that I've kind of talked over or that you didn't get to share with our audience that you want to just put out there before we kind of wrap up here for today?
I guess the thing that I'd like to kind of share with people is we all can actually be coached and we all can be a coach. And I'd like people to consider that it's almost an essential human skill. You know, we all pour ourselves into our children, and we want the best for them. But we live and operate in so many different communities, whether it be work or whether it be our churches, whether it be our neighborhoods. And I think we're on this planet to help each other. And coaching simply is a skill set that allows us to do that. So when we know what people are up to, and when we can offer and partner with them to help them be their best, then they, in turn, will pay that forward to other people. And I really do believe that it is a force of nature to literally make the world a better place.
Barry, thank you very much. Look, how does someone get in touch with you? What's your What's the preferred method for getting in touch with you if they want to talk more about this?
Yeah, they can literally call me at 248-740-3231. I don't want to put any barriers, so people can call me. They can write me at barry@dempcoaching.com. The simplest way, though, is just to do a Google search for Barry Demp, D-E-M-P. And there's all kinds of things that hopefully will come up, and I'm sure these people are able to secure a way of reaching out to me. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of.
Barry, thank you very much for being with us. I welcome you to the Coaching Perspective radio show community. It's been entertaining. It's been educational. And we'll look forward to having you back another time for the next book.
It's been a real pleasure, Doug. I sincerely appreciate this opportunity.
Okay. Have a great evening, Barry.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Well, we've been listening to Barry Demp, the Quotable Coach. If you're tuning in late, you can catch the podcast. It'll be up early next week. You can catch it by going to our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can go to our archive site, which is dgefeller.podbean.com. You're having trouble spelling Gefeller? G-F-E-L-L-E-R. We are here every week. We will miss next week. I'm sorry. I have another commitment, but we're here most every Thursday, 4 o'clock. If you miss it, check our websites, and you can always listen to the shows afterwards. It's been a privilege. This is Doug Gefeller signing off, thanking you for all of your support. I hope you enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals immediately.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.